Fans, you talk about luck. We got lucky this morning running into one of the leading baseball writers in the country, Tyler Kepner of the New York Times, here on KNBR 680. Tyler, nice to see you at the ballpark as always. And the Cactus League, you look like an Arizonan already.
I love it out here. It's so much better than Florida. You stay in one hotel and see any team any day. The weather's great. Fields are nice. It's can't beat it.
All right, let's start a little bit with New York baseball, and that's what you cover. These stories, and we haven't seen it yet, from Tampa with A-Rod and all that. What's going on there?
Well, it's it's an interesting story from a baseball perspective. A player with all of his accomplishments trying to come back after the suspension, all the lawsuits and acrimony and lies, a team that really doesn't want him, but he's only there because of a bad contract they made with him years ago. It's a very dysfunctional and weird situation, but they're going to just have to see if he has anything left baseball-wise.
You know, I think of baseball history, and of course you work for a paper that Leonard Coppett worked for and some with John Debringer, some great writers who came through the New York Times. I can't think of a baseball situation in history that is as fraught with peril as the Rodriguez one is.
Yeah, it's really unprecedented to have a player who has sued his own team and his union, and who has made the kinds of decisions he's made repeatedly. I mean, you know, we see a lot of these guys who've done steroids or something, and then they, you know, that's the only time they do it. And this guy went back and did it again after asking us all to forgive him and stuff. You know, I'm not gonna forgive him for what he did to the game, because I feel like the rest of the players have moved on. Almost all of them really have moved on from that whole era, and he keeps dragging us back to talking about it and seeing this guy out there, knowing what he's chosen to do and the mess he's chosen to make of his own legacy. It's really sad.
You know, it's interesting, Tyler Kepner with us, that you bring up a point of Rodriguez kind of dragging people back into the steroid era. I wonder if that rubs off on the Clemens Hall of Fame vote, the Bonds Hall of Fame vote, the fact that Rodriguez is still in the news on this issue.
Maybe a little bit, but I just think the Hall of Fame vote is so contentious when it comes to the steroid guys, because it's a very emotional issue, and it's hard for a lot of people to separate their emotions from what we saw on the field and to know exactly what we were seeing in those years. So I don't know. It's the Hall of Fame debate is tough, and it's not going to go away because you need 75%. You know, some of these guys could get 50, 52, 58. It could be a landslide in any national political election with 74%, but you got to get 75. That's why it's so hard, and I don't think you'll ever get people, three-quarters of the voters, to agree on someone who has steroids in their background being in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, that's it's too volatile an issue to get 75% consensus on those guys. It just is.
I agree with you. Hey, Yankee baseball, come on, it's the Yankees, the money, the Yes Network and all that. They don't seem to be putting it together.
No, two straight years without the playoffs. They were outscored in both years, so it says something that they were able to even have winning records and contend late in the season, but they did. It took a lot of midseason moves last year. Chase Headley, Martin Prado, Brandon McCarthy. Took a lot of moves just to get them in position to play meaningful games, and even so, they didn't make it. To me, they've lost a lot of their personality, a lot of their, more importantly, prime age talent out on the field. I mean, when they were doing it, they were doing it with guys, you know, they could go out and sign guys in the free agent market who were still close enough to their primes. And lately, the guys they've signed have been kind of a tick below in talent and a little bit older. I mean, Carlos Beltran got hurt. You know, Ellsbury and McCann are in their early 30s, and they were healthy last year, but they had down years for them. Even Ellsbury, if you look at his second half. So they're relying on a lot of over 30 players on this offense to get better, and that usually doesn't happen over 30. And their pitchers have some upside, but the only guy on that staff who threw, I think, over 180 innings last year was Nate Eovaldi, who they got from Miami. So you just don't know what you're going to get from Sabathia and Tanaka and Michael Pineda either.
Yeah. Too many ifs. I always say the if factor. Too many if, and it never works out. Tyler Kepner with us. All right. Other side of town, the Mets. Look like they've turned the corner. They saw the Giants a lot last year. Some good pitching against the Giants last year. That Jacob deGrom especially was excellent. The Bernie Madoff fallout, the Wilpons, Mets now sort of coming back?
Well, maybe. I mean, they've gone out the last few years and signed some veteran guys. You know, Bartolo Colon did a nice job for them last year. You got to hand it to him, even at his age. He's a solid mid-rotation guy. Curtis Granderson, they're hoping they can get more power out of him. They moved the fences in again. They got his old hitting coach from the Yankees, Kevin Long, on the Mets side of town, hoping he'll help. And they signed Michael Kadir this year. You know, solid professional hitter, but he's been hurt a little bit, and he played at Coors Field the last couple of years, and he's kind of old. So, you know, he brings a lot to the clubhouse, but yeah, I hope he's got enough left on the field. So they're hoping. I'm not sure they'll hit enough, and I'm not crazy about the bullpen, but you do love their rotation. I mean, they've got young guys just coming into their own. Matt Harvey's back now from Tommy John. He's had a long layoff. He had the surgery in October of 13, so he should be good to go. It's been a long time. Zach Wheeler, former Giant prospect, is really developing nicely. You know, and Jacob deGrom, Rookie of the Year, Dylan G, John Neese, Colon, Syndergaard in the minors. They've got a lot of options, so they can make things interesting. But I'm just not quite sure if they're going to hit or if they're going to protect those leads.
All right. Well, you got to start with pitching, and they're starting to do that now. Tyler, you've been out in the Cactus League. I know you've had a chance to see a few of the camps. What are some of your general impressions? National League West is actually getting pretty interesting here. The Padres hit the ball pretty well this week.
Yeah, it is. The Padres are. That was the first team I saw out here. I've been out here a week, and I've seen you know, a different team every day, and they've got a lot of motivation in that locker room. You know, a new general manager, AJ Preller, he went out and made a lot of moves, which is good to see. The Padres have been an easy team to overlook, really, since they went divergent paths with the Giants in 2010. Right, the Padres were leading most of that season. They lost it in the final weekend, and since then the Giants have won 3 championships, and the Padres have faded into irrelevance, sort of like the Rockies, too, who contended back in 2010. Rockies haven't done much. The Padres have done a lot. Upton is in the last year of his contract. He's going to be motivated. Matt Kemp obviously thought he would be Mr. Dodger forever, and they didn't care about that. They sent him right down the freeway. They're going to see him a lot. They'll challenge they challenged him, so he's gonna be highly motivated. And of course, you know, Will Myers playing a new position, center field. He's really only had one bad year in his professional career, and it led the Rays to trade him. So they've got a lot of guys there who are eager to put up big years. They got James Shields in the rotation. I think the Padres are gonna make it very interesting.
Yeah, I love the West, and someone keeps saying, Javi Lopez said it this week. We got 19 games against all these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, 19 Giant Dodger game, 19 Giant Diamondback games, 19 Giant Padre games, and the West is pretty good. We haven't had that sort of that wow, the West 19 games against each other like you have had in the East, because you know the East is one of those they just beat each other up. I got a feeling the West is going to look like that.
It could be. Yeah, I wonder. I mean, Colorado is such a you know, such a puzzle there. Last year they led all the majors in runs at home, and they were last in the majors in runs on the road. It was crazy. I'm pretty sure that's true. You know, they have some good hitters, but you just don't know. Tulowitzki should be back. Cargo should be back. So they might be a little more formidable, but they still didn't really address the pitching very much. And I think Arizona, the key will be how often you beat Arizona. I don't see a whole lot of reliable big arms in that rotation. So I think, you know, the teams are going to need to, you know, make up a lot of ground when they play Colorado and Arizona. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's the Dodgers are different, too. You know, they're losing a couple power bats. They took some risks at the back end of the rotation, but there could be high rewards there with McCarthy and with Brett Anderson. So it's, you know, new management, new GMs everywhere in this division. You know, Sabian's longest tenured in the sport, and the other four are brand new. So there's a lot of new philosophies bouncing around in this division trying to catch up to the Giants.
Yeah, good story. Hey, Tyler, one last thought for you. Being around the Cactus League, I always say the Cubs with all their young players, interesting. Any team jump out at you that sort of say, wow, this has been a lot of fun to see them so far, or this may be a good story?
Yeah, the Cubs for sure. You know, they're entering another phase of their plan. I don't think this is quite the year just yet. Yeah. But they're getting there, and you're seeing, you know, this young core, which is really knocking on the door, and they'll probably have some growing pains, you know, as they get to the big leagues. But in a year or two, or three, they're going to be really, really good. And this year they could make some noise. I mean, you don't need to win, as we saw from the Giants last year. You don't need to win 90 games to win this World Series. So, you know, but I think I was over at the Oakland A's. They're interesting just in their continual, you know, reshuffling of the parts without ever really surrendering. You know, the A's never surrender and say, hey, we're just going to rebuild for 5 years. I mean, they don't do that. They go for it. They're going for it in a different way this year, but it's or with different people, but in a similar way with versatility and with, you know, competent guys and guys who've had good track records in the minor leagues and college and are maybe have never quite gotten a shot. Well, they're going to get a shot in Oakland, and it's worked recently, and I wouldn't bet against them. I mean, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense on paper, but you know, Billy added a lot of guys who should give them another shot. So I'm really curious to see how they factor into that division.
Very good. Someone mentioned to me last night at dinner, said, well, boy, these five teams in the playoff, baseball's diluted, the postseason, the World Series champion, the fifth team ends up in the World Series, Kansas City and the Giants. Do you see it being diluted at all?
No, because the year before, the two number one teams squared off. It was St. Louis and Boston. They were the top seeds in the playoffs, and so last year it was two wild card teams. But you know, the Giants certainly can't question their championship medal. They've proven that, and the Royals, they've been building it. They built it for a long time, and it was nice to see them, you know, go onto the big stage where we hadn't seen them before. I think most fans are probably past the point of thinking that you need to finish first. I mean, we saw a wild card World Series with the Giants back in 02. It wasn't the first time it happened. Giants, Angels, a wild card team won in 97. So we're going on 18 years now of wild cards. And so the 18 years, that's a whole generation just about that's used to seeing teams like that. I mean, you know, the Oakland Raiders won a Super Bowl in 1981 as a wild card team. So I think most fans are, you know, can accept that once you get in the playoffs, it is a little bit different game. But yet there's still room for dynasty type teams, as we see from the last 11 years. Red Sox have won three times, Giants have won three times, Cardinals have won twice. So you can still find a way to have multiple, to have a formula to succeed in the postseason, despite 10 teams that make it.
Yeah. Well, great to have you on. Always a pleasure to see you out here. As I say, great legacy, New York Times, Murray Chass, another one I'll throw in there. So nice to have you on the show.
Thanks. Yeah, Jack Curry and Buster Olney. I was really privileged to work with guys like that as well. So it's a great place to be. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, that's Tyler Kepner. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.